Today's year is Masechta Menachos, Daf Pei Tes, and we will begin on Daf Pei Tes of an Aleph on the top line. We learned in the Mishnah, Chatzi Loig Shemen L'Toida. A Chatzi Loig of Shemen was used by the Karban Toida, which means, as we've discussed numerous times, the Karban Toida comes with 40 loaves of Chalas, 10 with Chametz, and 30 with Matzah. And our Mishnah and now our Gemara will discuss that those 30 loaves of matzah had a chatzi loig of oil. Tanya, so the Brice explains to Rekiva Omer. Rekiva says, how do we know that a chatzi loig of shemen will use for those 30 loaves? Matam loimer b'shemen b'shemen shnei pomim. The Torah, when it speaks about the Karban Toida, says, im al toida yakriveno, v'ikriv al zemach toida, Chalos matzos beluas b'shemen, rekuke matzos meshuchim b'shemen. The Torah uses the word b'shemen twice. So Rukiva asks, why does the Torah have to use the word shemen twice? Couldn't the Torah have just used that word once, and we would obviously know that shemen is used with the lachmei toida? To which answers the Braisa, ilo lo nema el b'shemen echad. Had the Torah only used the word shemen once, how you see Omer, we would understand how Reu could call him Nochus. The Lachmei Toida have the same halakha as all Karban Toida. The loik, where a loik shemen is used. Achshav, Shekosav. But now that the Torah used the word b'shemen twice, b'shemen, b'shemen, so it falls into the category of a riboy achiriboy, a double riboy. And we know throughout Shas, the any riboy achiriboy, when the Torah has a double riboy, it's elo lamat, it's coming to say that you don't have to bring the full amount, you bring less. Miat akosav, what the Torah is teaching us is that instead of bringing a loig, you just bring a chatzi loig. Why is a riboy a riboy elo lamat? So some of Farshim explain that it's a one of the darke halimut that the Torah teaches us in the Shlosh Esrei Midos, the Riboy Achariboy, Eriboy Achariboy, El Lamayit. That's how some Mepharshim explain. However, there are other Mepharshim that explain as follows. If all that the Torah was trying to accomplish was to say a Riboy, then the Torah could have said just one word. Why does the Torah say it the second time? It must be that the Torah has come to teach us, don't be Marva, but on the contrary, just be Memayit, and instead of having a whole loig, a half a loig will be adequate. Furthermore, there's a question, how do we understand a ribu achiribu el lamayit? Is the second word considered a miyut? Or, once we have a ribu achiribu, then even the first mentioning of the word also is to be considered a miyut. Ask the Gemara, why are we considering this a ribu achiribu? We need the Torah to teach us the word b'shemen, because if the Torah hadn't taught us that word, we would have never known that you need shemen. So, if so, only one mention of shemen is superfluous, and therefore it ought not to be considered a ribui achiribui. Ever, so the Gemara revises how to understand what it means. Had the Torah not mentioned at all the obligation to bring shemen with the lachmei toida, we would still understand harehu kakol hamanachas l'loy, that it has the same halacha like all other karban mincha. And we know that all karban mincha, as we've learned even in this parak, require a loig shemen. So achshav shenemar. So it turns out that the mentioning of b'shemen b'shemen, both mentioning of the shemen are extra, so it becomes a ribu, have a ribu achariboy, then ribu achariboy el amat. The mayat is miyato akosif. The Torah has come to teach us that chatziloy, a half a loig of shemen, is adequate. Although the Mepharshim point out that we don't always see that the lachmei toida considered a karban mincha, still here, then when speaking about a loig shemen, certainly the formula should be the same as it is by all karban minchas which is a chatzi loik, which is a whole loik, unless we have the ribui after ribui, which comes to teach us that a chatzi loik is enough. Yochel, we know, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the lachmei toida have 10 loaves of chametz and 30 loaves of that are matzah. Those 30 loaves are really divided into three different types: chalos, mekikin, and revuka. So continues the brisa, yochel yechatzi loig zeh mischalik l'shloishes minim. We should take this chatzi loig of oil that the Torah tells us we should use for the chalos that are matzah and divide it equally l'chalos ulurkikin ulurvika. Kushoimer, when the Torah says the word b'shemen b'revicha, when the Torah says that the revucha requires shemen, shein tamalaymer, when there's no need for the Torah to say this, because we already know, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, that clearly the lachmei toida requires shemen, why does the Torah again mention the requirement to have shemen by the revucha type of loaves? Riba shemen revicha. The Torah is telling us to use more oil on the revucha loaves than on the other loaves. Haketzah. How is this accomplished? Maybe chatzi leg shemen v'chatzayu. We bring the chatzi leg shemen that we've established must be brought for these 30 loaves. Chetzya l'chalos l'rekikin. Half of that chatzi leg, that means one revius, is used for the chalos and l'rekikin loaves. The chetzya and one revius is used for the revuka loaves. So here we see that they're not evenly distributed, that the oil is not evenly distributed amongst the 30 loaves. Rather, the revuka has much more oil used in it than the chalos and the rekikin. This is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Continues the Braisa. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Kiva, Akiva, even if you will try, as much as you will try to learn that this is to be considered a situation of ribui achar ribui, eni shemeilach, I will not agree with you. Because the beloved Rav Zaria says we need the first b'shemen to teach us that the lachmei toida requires shemen. We can't learn, says Rav Lozben Azariah, the halach of the lachmei toida from all other carbon minchas. Ella, chatzi loig shem l'toida, da locha, that a chatzi loig of shemen is used by the carbon toida. Da locha, that the nazir has to bring 20 loaves, and he has to bring a revius shemen for those 20 loaves by a nazir. Revius shemen l'nazir, that when the nazir completes his naziris and he brings his kabanis, he has to bring 20 loaves with his ale hashlamim, and he brings a revius oil for them. V'achar asiyoyim, and the 11 days, Shebein nida l'neida, halach l'mashim sinai, all halach l'mashim sinai. What does achar asiyoyim shebein nida l'neida mean? So before we begin to explain it, we have to emphasize, as we always do when we learn this Gemara, that this is the din that we're going to now describe, the halach l'mashim sinai, that we're now going to explain, is the din d'oraisa. However, we never follow this halacha in practice, as we're going to learn in Masechet Nida. So now to explain. Midaraisa, mehalacha l'moshe m'sinai, a woman's life is divided into a series of 7 days and 11 days, which means the woman's first 7 days after she starts seeing dam are Yemei Nida. And during the Yemei Nida, even if she sees dam for all 7 days, if at the end of 7 days she's no longer seeing dam, she goes to the mikveh and she is tohom. She then begins a series of 11 days. Those 11 days are 11 days of Yemei Ziva, where the halacha during the Yemei Ziva is that if she sees dam on one day, if she's tohor, if she's clean on the next day, then she is fine. If she sees dam, that's called the Shemer Shoyim Keneged Yoyim. The same halacha applies if she sees dam for 2 days. If she's clean on the third day, again, she's tahor. Only if she sees dam for 3 consecutive days, does she become a Zava, and does she require, is she required to have a Zayin Yemei Nikiyim? She has to have 7 days of no discharge. That is the din of the Raisa, and that is all a halacha of Moshe Sinai. Of course, we know that the halacha, as we're going to learn in Masechta Nida, and as is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, is that our women, even if they see tipas dam kechadel, they see the smallest discharge, they are considered full-fledged nidais, and they're required to have zayin nikiyim. And as we know, the halacha also is that she should not begin, a woman should not begin counting under normal circumstances the zayin nikiyim until 5 days after she had a discharge. So, according to Elazar ben Azaria, this halacha that the lach metoida, that the 30 loaves of matzah only have a chatzi loy shemen, we learn from halacha l'moshe Sinai, not like Rabbi Akiva, who learned it by Ribui Acharibui. But now, there's a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim. We actually, when we learned the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, learned 2 halachas. One halacha is that you bring a chatzi loy for the 30 loaves, and the other halacha that he learned is that we use 1 revius or half of that chatzilot for the revuka. So the question is, what will Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria hold regarding that halacha? Some Rishonim explain that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria will dispute Rabbi Akiva on that halacha as well, and he will hold that the chatzilot shemen is equally distributed between the chalas and the rikikin and the revuka. However, there are other Rishonim that explain that on this halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria will agree with Rabbi Akiva. He'll say that the halacha l'moshe Sinai that teaches us that a chatzi loy shemen is used for the lachmei toida also teaches us that 1 revius should be used for the chalas rikikin and 1 revius should be used for the revuka, and therefore in this halacha about how much oil is used for the revuka and how much oil is used for the chalas rikikin, there is no dispute between Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and Rabbi Akiva. We learned in the Mishnah a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. According to the Tanakama, every isaron of flour requires a loik shemen, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, even if you have a karban mincha comprised of many isaron of flour, only 1 loik of shemen is required. And the Gemara now quotes a braisa to explain this machloikis. Tanabon, the mitzara oniksiv. We know that there's a difference between a mitzara oni and a mitzara osher. If a person becomes a mitzara and then he begins his purification process, if he's an osher, he brings 3 animals for kabonis. If, however, he's a mitzara oni, he only brings 1 animal and 2 birds. So says the Gemara, the pasuk says regarding the mitzara oni, Isaron Balu V'loi, teaching us that since he's only bringing 1 behema, so he's only bringing 1 Minchas Nesachim, that 1 Minchas Nesachim, Limer Al Isaron Shetan Loi. That 1 Isaron, why does the Torah have to teach it to us? If he's bringing 1 behema, the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment, he obviously brings 1 Isaron, and he therefore brings 1 Loi. What does the Torah have to teach us to us? To teach us that every isaron of flour requires a loig of shemen. Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Oimrim, Afilu Mincha Shel Shishim Isroinim, even if one has a very large mincha, as we explained in the previous year, the largest mincha, certainly according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you could ever have, is a mincha of 60 Isroinim, Ein Loi El Loiga, you only bring 1 loig shemen. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, L'mincha, when you have a carbon mincha, the loig shemen, you only bring 1 loig shemen for the carbon mincha. Mefarshim explained that the way we understand it is that why did the Torah use the word lemincha before loig shemen? The Torah should have said loig shemen lemincha to teach us exactly this halacha that every mincha never has more than 1 loig shemen. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nechemia, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Hayasara Bol of a loig. The pasuk that the Chum teach us that you have a separate loig for every Yisorin, my Avdilei, what will they use this pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Hahul Gufei. They need that pasuk to teach us that the Mitzora Ani, the Kamar Rachmanas, the Mitzora Ani, even though he's bringing money, much less animal kabanas than the Mitzora Asher, still, Laisi Chad Yisorin. He has to bring one behema. One behema he does bring, and that one behema that he wants brings, the behema that he brings, the keves for carbon asham, should have with it a carbon minchas nesachim, which is made up of a isarin, a flower, and a log of shemen. Vidach, Rabbi, the Tanakam, the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Zakkai ben Chachamim, and Rabbi Nechemya hold, legufa letzarach, to teach us this halacha, we don't need a pasuk. Midagol rachmana gam mitzora. Since the Torah teaches us by a mitzora asher that he has to bring shalosh kabanas, three animal kabanas, and since he's bringing three animal kabanas, he brings along shlosh esroinos, three esroinim. Hacha. So here, by the mitzora ani, as we've been explaining, he only brings chad carbon. So if he brings one carbon, he has to bring one esorin. That is obvious. The pasuk is extra, according to Chachamim, to teach us the halacha that for every isarin of a carbon mincha would bring a separate light. Vidach, how do Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Nechemya defend themselves? They say, Sakadat Chamina. We would say, since we see that the Torah is being lenient with him and not requiring him to bring three animals, just like the Metzora Asher has to bring Ema. So we would think the loy leboy mincha klal, that even though he's bringing one animal carbon, that one animal carbon need not be accompanied with a carbon mincha, given that the Torah is having rachmanos on him because he's an ani. That's why we need the pasuk to teach us that halacha, and it isn't available to teach us the halacha that every isarin requires its own loy. Vidach. The Chacham, on the other hand, say Lagamri Lashkichan. Every animal carbon requires a Mechas Nesachim with it. And they therefore say there is no reason to believe that it shouldn't require the Mechas Yisorin, that we need the Torah to teach us that. V'Rabbanan. Now ask the Gemara under Rabbanan. Hai L'mincha V'Loch Shem May Avdelei. The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Nechemya learned from that pasuk that the Torah teaches us that no matter how large the carbon mincha is, all you need to bring is one loig shemen. The Rabbanon who disagree with that halacha, what would they use this pasuk to teach us? Teaches us the Gemara, Hahu, that pasuk according to them is coming to teach us, the l'masnadev mincha, shlo yifchas m'dovar ton log. That somebody who brings a carbon mincha should not bring something that's less than a loig, or my nisar. In other words, the Torah is teaching us that the minimal size of a carbon mincha is a nisarin. Vidach, how would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov know that halacha? Answers the Gemara, start shouting that. He learns that from this pasuk, we can learn two halachas. One halacha is that the minimal size of a carbon mincha is a nisarin, and no matter what size your carbon mincha is, you only have to bring one loig shemen. And as Mefarshim explained, these two halachas are really very much connected to each other, and since they're very much connected to each other, it isn't considered a situation where we're learning two different halachas from one pasuk. We learned in the Mishnah, shish lepar, six loig are used when the animal that's being brought as a carbon is a bull, arba l'ayah, four loigin when the animal is a ram, and shloisha, three loigin when the animal is a keves, when it's a lamb. As we always have said, dependent on the size of the animal, is what the Torah says is the size of the mechas nesachim. Ask the Gemara, Minolon, how do we know this halacha? Says the Marduk Sibuk, the Pasuk says, V'niskeyim chatzei hin yir lepar. Hin, we know that the hin is trace of luga hin, is 12 lugin. So if the Torah says by the par, it's a half a hin, it's obviously 6 lugin. How do we know that the hin is made up of 12 lugim. Says the Gemara the Ksiv, because the pasuk says Shemen Zayis Hin. The Ksiv Shemen Meshkos Kodesh Yir Zeh Lila Dorasechem. The Torah has that extra word Zeh in there. Zeh is Gematria Treisa Havin. Zeh is 12. So from here we see that a hin is made up of 12 loigim. And as Mefarshim point out, because since the loig is the smallest liquid measure that we find in the Torah, so when the Torah is speaking about 12, it must be 12 loigim. Furthermore, as the Rosh says, this that they that the halach that a hin is made up of 12 loigim, they really had a Kabbalah, they really had a Basaira, that is the size of the hin. What Al Gemara is teaching us, that it should be divided, what Al Gemara is teaching us, the Gematria is only in a smachta. Because the Rosh goes on to say that a Gematria is not really one of the midos shatayr in the dreshes then. It's not one of the acceptable ways that the Torah is explained, and rather the way to understand it, therefore, says the Rosh, is that the Gemara, that the Pasuk is to be, the Pasuk is only in a smachta, the Gematria is only in a smachta. We learned in the Mishnah, Shlosha Mechzla Menorah, they had 3.5 loig for the Menorah, because Chatzi loig l'chol ner v'ner. There was a Chatzi loig used for every candle. How do we know the Shir? Asked the Gemara, not immediately. The Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Me'erev ad boiker, Tema midasa, enough oil should be put into the Menorah, should they delekes v'alekes me'erev ad boiker. The one should be able to, that it should light all night, which we'll soon see is a chatziloi. Dove acher, another explanation we learn from the words me'erevet boiker, ein lecha avoida shekshere me'erevet boiker, there is no avoida that is kosher in to be done in the base of Migdash during the evening, el zubuvad, the lighting of the menorah, which of course the Rishoyim ask, we know that there were certain other avoidas that were done in the evening. The avoida of Trumas Hadeshen, which certainly can begin at Chatzos, and the Gemara Masech the Yuma understands that at certain times it was done even earlier. So how do we say that this is the only avoida that's done in the evening? To which the Mefarshim respond, Trumas Hadeshen, even though it's begun at night, is still not considered a night avoider. It's considered a day avoider, but it's a day avoider that can be begun before the day actually begins. Whereas the menorah is considered a night avoider. But then the Mefarshim ask, as we've learned numerous times, hekta chaylovim vayvarim, the burning of the chaylov can be done all night. So why are we saying that only the menorah is done at night? So the Mefarshim say that even though the halacha is that hekta chalovim veivorim may be done at night, still the proper time for doing the hekta chalovim veivorim is actually by day. And the raya they bring is that we know that on Shabbos they brought kabbonis and they did the hekta chalovim veivorim on Shabbos. Now if the halacha were that l'chatechila they may be done at night, how may we be mechal Shabbos to do hekta chalovim veivorim on Shabbos if we could wait till Motzoi Shabbos? It must be that the real zman for doing the hekta chalovim veivorim is really by day, just the Torah says that they could also go into the evening. But there's a whole different understanding by other mefarshim of this zman, that this time that the Torah, that the Gemara is identifying shikshir ad me'erved boik azul bevat. All other avodas are done by night or by day, or either by night or either by day. The menorah has a special halacha that the avoda begins by day and continues, because as we've learned, and we'll discuss this more in a moment, it continues burning all night. To have an avoda that begins by day and then continues all night long, that is what's unique about the menorah. But the first limud that the Gemara has for this pasuk of Erev Abayker, Shira Chachamim, you want to put in a chatzi loig, because you need to put in enough oil to burn all evening. And shir chachamim, chatzi loig, if you put in a chatzi loig, urta atzafra, that will burn from night, from the evening till the morning. Of course, The Mefarshim ask, not all nights are the same duration. So how can we say that you put in the same amount and it'll always burn the same, that it'll always burn the same length? So I saw a number of different approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that indeed during the winter with the short nights, the menorah continued burning into the day. The other pshat is they actually extinguished the menorah in the morning. A third pshat is that they made different types of wicks in the winter and in the summer. In the winter they made thicker wicks, so this amount of oil got burnt up quicker. In the summer they made thinner wicks, and because they made thinner wicks, the menorah burnt all night long with this amount of oil. But now the Gemara begins to try to understand, how did they determine that a chatzi like shemen is the amount of oil that's needed to burn all night long? Ika de amri, memala memata shur. Some say that they started with a larger amount and then they worked their way down. No, they started, let's say, with a loik, and they saw that a loik was too much, and therefore they went down to chatziloi, till they came down to chatziloi. Bita amri, and others say, memata lamalashiwa. They began with less than a chatziloi. They saw that that wasn't enough oil, so they kept on adding until they were able to determine that the amount of oil that they need to burn all night long is a chatziloi. And the Gemara explains what is the basis for this different type of different approach to making this evaluation. The Torah wants us to save money, and that's why they tried to use less until they came to that determination. They started with more, they worked their way down. Mefarshim ask, according to the Manda Omer, that Mamata Mamalashir, they started with less until they worked their way up. So we have a problem. They didn't have, the menorah wasn't lit all night. So isn't that a fundamental issue, that we need the menorah to be lit all night? So I saw a number of terutz. One terutz is that this experimentation wasn't done in the Beis HaMikdash. It was done outside the Beis HaMikdash to determine how much they should use in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when the determination was made before they ever had to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, by the time they lit the menorah in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash, they knew the proper amount. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that, I saw the Mefarshim, is that they used thinner wicks. So even though they had less than a chatzi loik, it did last all night, but they had very thin wicks, and they didn't want to use, and that wasn't the wicks that really was supposed to be used, they were only using them to be able to make this experiment. But then I saw a different shot, that the halacha is that indeed l'chatchila, you're supposed to put in enough oil to last all night, but if you didn't put in that much oil, and you it still is kosher b'di'evit. And in fact, that approach is very understandable to answer the question, the famous question that we discussed of the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef asks, why is Hanukkah celebrated for 8 days? What was the nace during the first night? And one of the answers the Beis Yosef suggests is that they put and they divided the oil into eighths. So the first night already alone, they only put in an eighth of the amount they were supposed to put in, and yet it burned all night long. But the problem with that teretz is, how were they allowed to put in so little? So some say that in the Beis HaMikdash they relied on a neis. But we know, of course, that the rule is, ain't soimchen al a neis. The answer is, as we just suggested, that under certain circumstances, you could put in less than the amount that you burn all night, and it would still be acceptable. And that's what they were relying on. And the nace happened that they didn't have to rely on it. It burnt all night. But then, there's a different approach that the Mefarshim suggest that is the basis of the machloikis between these two approaches, if they went mamata, malmalo, lamalo, mamata. And the basis of that is, what happens if the candle goes out in the middle of the night, or you see it's about to go out? Can you add oil? The man, the armor that holds Mamata Mamala Shiaru, says that even if they're going to put in too little oil and they see that the oil is not lasting all night long, they'll add some oil in the middle of the night, and you fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneris and the Beis Hamikdash L'chatchila that way. The other man, the armor who holds Mamal Mamata, holds that adding oil to the menorah is not a legitimate way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneris, and therefore he couldn't rely that maybe I'll put in too little, and if I see it's going out too early, I'll add oil. Because according to him, that isn't an option, because adding oil is not an option. And actually, I saw a beautiful medrash that could be explained according to this. The medrash says, the v'schus of the story of Yaakov with the pachim ketanim, and we know that Yaakov remained to carry the small vessels, the Nes Chanukah happened. And the Farshim want to understand what is the connection between that episode with Yaakov Avinu and the Nes Chanukah. So they suggest, going back to the Beis Yosef's question that we just mentioned, that the Beis Yosef says that they put in an eighth of the oil that they had remaining. The question, of course, comes up, how could they put in so little oil when the halacha is that you have to have enough oil to burn all night long? The answer is that they assumed, they hoped, that there would be a nes that the menorah would burn all night long, even though they only put in an eighth of what they normally did. But what was their thinking in the back of their mind? That if a nes won't happen, and they'll have to, and they'll see that the candles start to go out, they'll add oil in the middle of the night, because they will hold that that is a legitimate way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiris. Therefore, they went and only put in an eighth, and Baruch Hashem, a nes happened, and the oil burnt all night, and they didn't have to add. But why did they feel that they could take this approach? Because they held that adding the oil in the middle of the night, if necessary, is 100% acceptable. They obviously follow the man, the Omer of our Gemara that holds Mimata Mamala. Why does he hold Mimata Mamala? Because he's based, as our Gemara says, on a Torah Chasam Manisha Yisrael. Where was the first person that we ever see concerned about Torah Chasam, concerned about this? Yaakov Avinu. So from Yaakov Avinu we learned how Torah Chasam Manisha Yisrael. And from there we learn Mimata Mamala. What is the basis of a Mimata Mamala? The whole basis of a Mimata Mamala is because you can always add oil in the middle of the night, which is exactly what happened by the Ner Chanukah, that they put in only an eighth, saying that if we'll have to add oil, we'll be allowed to. Of course, this Gemara, that we're learning the Halacha of Hadlokas Neiris, and we're connecting it to the Ner Chanukah, is very much relevant to what should be, how the oil and how the Hadlokas Ner Chanukah should be done. Because the Mefarshim discuss, I saw the Shevet Alevi and the Tshuvas ask the question, what is the Halacha regarding oil that's congealed? May one use such oil for the Ner Chanukah? Because his concern is that since this wasn't the kind of oil that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps it should not be used for Chanukah. And many of the candles the oils that are sold nowadays in these ready-made cups, the oil is congealed. Shevet Levi says that even though, as we're learning, we do compare Chanukah to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't have to be perfectly and exactly the same. As long as it's olive oil, the fact that this is congealed, and in the Beis HaMikdash they did not use congealed oil, will not disqualify that oil from being used for the menorah by Chanukah. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that our Gemara that's teaching us that the Gner and the Beis HaMikdash should be on the Erev at Boiker, from here is the Halacha that one is supposed to learn Torah at night. nights were created by Hashem for learning, because we know that the Ner is connected to Torah, and just like we're learning here that the Ner had to be on all night, so too must every Jew learn Torah every night. There's only an interesting debate amongst the Paiskim, when is the better time to learn? During the first half of the night, or during the second half of the night? But certainly, every Jew has the obligation to learn Torah every night. Says the Mishnah, Ma'arvin nichse parim b'nichse eilam. We may mix together the nesachim of the parim with the nesachim of the eilam, because, as we learned, the ratio of oil to flour by both of them is a 2-to-1 ratio. The ratio is 2 leugen of oil for every yisorin of flour, and therefore, since the ratio is the same, that a bull, it's 3 yisorin of flour and 6 leugen of oil, but an ayil, it's 2 yisorin of flour and 4 leugen of oil. So since they have the same ratio, they may be mixed. Similarly, nichse kvasim b'nichse kvasim, they all have the same ratio of 3-to-1. So yachid v'shal tzibur, we can mix together the nesachim of a yachid and a tzibur if they have the same ratio. So yoyim v'shal emes, we can mix together the nesachim of one day with the nesach of today with the nesachim of yesterday, because as we've learned many times, the halacha is that the nesachim don't have to be brought on the same day that the carbon is brought, and since they don't have to be brought on the same day, the nesachim of today and tomorrow are all kosher. However, says the Mishnah, Eim Av Nisei Kvasim and Nisei Parim Ve'elim, because they don't have the same ratio. The Parim Ve'elim have the 2-to-1 ratio, whereas the Kvasim have a 3-to-1 ratio. And if we're going to mix them together, we're going to end up having too much oil by the Parim Ve'elim and too little oil by the Kvasim. However, says the Mishnah, if the ingredients were mixed first, and then after the ingredients were mixed, then the nesachim got combined, shem. However, im atchloi bolu, if the ingredients, all the ingredients of these different nesachim were mixed together before they were independently mixed, there would be psulim because of the different ratios. Says the Mishnah, hakeves abam oimer, the keves that came along with the Omer offering, Abbi Shemichasa Kfula, even though it had a double mincha, the halacha is that that this particular Mechas Nesachim had 2 isarn of flour, double the amount that a lamb normally has, still, Lahay Nesach Kfulim, the oil and wine of this carbon weren't doubled. They brought the same amount like they bring by everything else, 1/4 hin of oil and 1/4 hin of wine. Verminu asked the Gemara that our Mishnah seems to be teaching us that we can mix together different nesachim. Asked the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Viktiru shlo yarvu chalavim v'chalavim," that we're now allowed to mix together different kabbonis. So how does our Mishnah say that we're allowed to mix together nichse, the nesachim aparim v'nichse eilim? Amar Rav Yochanan, the way to understand the Mishnah is im nis arvukomer. Our Mishnah is to be understood not that lechatchila we may do so. Our Mishnah speaking about a b'di'evit situation, if they got mixed, when are they kosher and when are they not? Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding our Mishnah, that's talking about a case when it happened, not that l'chatchilu we may do so. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. So if we're learning that our Mishnah is referring to the Eved situation, that would mean that filin is arvu, even if they got mixed together, namiloi. The halacha is that nirsei kvasim may never be mixed with parim ve'elim. But that isn't true, because we just learned in our Mishnah from Midatani Sefer, Bolo Eilu Fnei Atzma, if they were first each independently mixed, And then only afterwards the different types of Nesachim, this Arvu, Daloch is the Dekshayrim. Mechlal, that the Reish, the Seif is talking about a B'dievet situation. Isn't that an indication that the Reish is talking about L'chatchil L'kamer? Even L'chatchil they may mix, but we just learned with Tiroi that they may not be mixed L'chatchil. Amar Abaya, Hachi Kamer. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Marvin, Yaina, we can mix together the wine of different carbon minchas, even l'chatchila, if this arvus saltan v'shamnon. That means, if we're in a situation where the saltan v'shamnon got mixed together, then we can l'chatchila go ahead and mix the wine. Otherwise, we would not be allowed to mix the wine. As the Mar, that seems to be teaching us that only in a case where they were already mixed together, that's when you could go mix the wine. But were they not mixed together, we would not be allowed to mix the wine. The Yainon asked the Gemara, is that true? The Yainon l'chatchila n'loi, that if the minchas are not mixed yet together, we may not mix together the wine. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Medrash Mamurim, when is there a discussion if you're allowed to mix together different nesachim, the salos for shemin, avo yayim arvin? Doesn't this Braisa teach us that we can always mix wine together, unlike where Abai is explaining that the Mishnah is teaching us that we can only mix the wine together after, if it's already a situation where the Saltan and the Shaman were mixed? Elam Abaya. So Abaya sort of modifies his answer. Hachkama. Hechad the hook to Saltan and the Shaman in the case where the Saltan and the Shaman already burnt on the Mizbeach, there, Marvinyan l'chatchila, we can mix them l'chatchila together. Why? Because there's no concern that if we're going to mix the wine, we're going to come to mix the salt and the shamlin. There's no salt and the shamlin left. They're already burnt. Hechad aloy hector. But in a case where they weren't yet burnt, even this arvin salt and the shamlin, if the salus and shamlin were mixed together, then marvin nami yenom, then we will be allowed to mix the wine. Men laugh. But if they haven't been mixed together, eima arvin, then we shouldn't mix anything together, because we're concerned that we're going to come to mix the wine together, even though halachically it's permissible, we're concerned we may come to mix the soils and shemen, which l'chatchila may not be done. So the way we come to the maskana is as follows. We're never allowed to mix soils and shemen of different carbon minchas, even if they have the same ratio. If they were already mixed together, and they have the same ratio, they're valid. If they have different ratios, so if they were first mixed and then mixed together, it's fine. If they weren't independently first mixed, then it's usur. On the other hand, when we speak about the wine, if they're still separate, we shouldn't mix the wine together, because if we mix the wine together, we may come to mix the minchas together. But if they were already mixed, then we can mix the wine in a situation that either the ratios are the same, or if they were independently mixed before they were mixed together. If they were already burnt on the Mizbeach, then the wine always l'chatchila may be mixed. We learned in the Mishnah the Kavis Abam Omer, the land that was brought together with the Minchas Omer, even though it has a double Mincha, the Nesachim are not doubled. Tanavon, U'minchas Oishnei Esroinim, Torah, when it speaks about the land that's brought with the Omer, says that the Minchas Shnei Esroinim, Liman al Kavis Abam Omer, Shemichas Kfula, it has a double sized Mincha in the flower. Yochel, Shem Shemichas Kfula, we would think that just like the Mincha is double, Kach Yenei Kofel, should have a double amount of wine, Tamalem of Niskoi, Yayin, Revia Sahin. Yochel continues the Raisa, Lo Yenei Kofel, we don't have to have a double amount of wine, Shem Nevel Mechas, because the wine is anyway not burnt together with the carbon Mincha. Avel Yei Shemnoi Kofel, we should have a double amount of oil, because since the oil is mixed together with the flour, So since the oil is mixed together, we should suggest that certain, that we should have more oil, since we have more flour. Talmud Loimer v'niskoi. Kol nesachav ye'el erviyas. My Talmud, Amar Blazak said v'niska. The Torah writes the word v'niska, but that's the ksiv, and the kri is v'niskoi. Kaitza, niska de mincha, k'niska de yayin. The amount that's used oil should be the same amount that's used the wine. My yayin, we just finished proving, is a revius, so too the shemen is a revius. So Tosfos Yontif says, now we can understand what we say when we daven musaf, minchasa v'niskeyem, and then it says v'yayin k'niskoi, to teach us that the yayin is also considered niskoi, because the yayin, as our Gemara is saying, serves to teach us how much shemen should be used in the Karban Mincha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asher Metzora Sheshach Tashloi L'Shma, if somebody brought an Asher Metzora Shloi L'Shma, that the halacha is that it's kosher El Shloi Olo L'Baal M'Shem Chayva Tar Nesachim. You have to bring along Nesachim with it. Shimei Atamayim came, if you will not bring Nesachim with it, Pasaltoi, it becomes Pasal. The Asham has to have, still to have, is still considered an Asher Metzora, and Asher Metzora has to have Nesachim. Ask the Gemara, Maswer of Nash Ragada, El Matta, we're going to follow this line of reasoning, that in Kevis Habay Ma'aymer, Sheshach Eloi Lishma, if someone's going to bring this Kevis Shloi Lishma, Tei Mechasa Kfula, even though you're going to have to bring another Kevis, the halacha should ought to be that you should bring, have to bring a double mincha, because says Gemara following Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning, Shemiata Imakei Pasalta, and the same thing, the Talmud that's brought every morning, Sheshach the Shloi Lishma, Yeton Shnei Gzirin, the Kainechot, there should be half that Shnei Gzirin, which is the halacha that every Talmud every morning half that Shnei Gzirin, two blocks of wood, Shemiata Imakei, because if you won't bring these two blocks of wood, Pasalta. And the same Talmud Shabbat Abayin, Sheshach the Lord Shema, Yitan Shnei Gzirim, brought by Tukahanim, Shemiat the Bekeim Pasalta. If we're saying that whatever carbon is Shema Lishma, and you're still bringing it, you have to follow the original halachas, so that by all of these kabbonis that have these unique rules, even if they brought Shema Lishma, all of the original halachas should still have to be followed. Answers the Gemara. Indeed, Enachanami, so is the halacha. Elam Abaya. So why did Rabbi Yochanan pick the case of Asher Metzora? Chodim v'nayim nakan. He mentioned one of many cases. Rava, however, says, Bishlam Hanach Oilus Nenu. All the other Kabbonis, what are they? They're really a Karban Oila. And if you can't fulfill your obligation with them, because they were Shachtish Loi L'Shma, Eloi Chazal Oilus Chayva, so you bring them for Oilus Nedava. Alohacha, Eloi Mukmus Leva Milsei, if you won't bring it as an Asher Metzora is brought, Asher Nadava, you can't bring it as an Asher Nadava, because there is no din of an Asher Nadava. And as the Mefarshim explained, bring it as an Asher Talu. An Asher Talu could only be brought if that is your intention. Here, there wasn't an intention to be brought as an Asher Talu, so that is an option. And there is no other Asher Nadava, so therefore it has to be brought as an Asher Metzora, where an Asher Metzora, as we've been learning, requires the Sachim with it. Mefarshim explained the difference between an Asham versus the other ones is the carbon tamid, for example, is to be viewed as an oila plus. So it's a regular oila. And a regular carbon oila, we just said, doesn't require the shtei gzirim. If it's a tamid, it requires the two gzirim. If it's not a tamid, it doesn't. But there's no such a thing as an Asham plus. Because as the Gemara says, Asham cannot be brought as an adava. Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, Asher Metzora Sheshach Tashloi L'Shma, Oshloi Nosen Domei Al Gad B'Hoynes. We know that the dom of the Kavan Asher has to be put on the thumb and big toe of the Metzora. If that wasn't done, Harezu Oil Al Gad Mizbeach, it should be brought in the Mizbeach, the Torn, the Sochem, and the Sochem should be brought along with it. However, the Metzora hasn't received his purification, he's going to have another Karban Asham brought properly to fulfill the obligation of the Asham Metzora. But here we clearly see that when he's bringing the first asham to complete that avoda, you have to bring along with it the nesachim, as Rav Yochanan indicated.